In this podcast, I'm going to talk about a type of sulfuric acid which is so strong, there's no water in it whatsoever, and it's a solid at room temperature. Can you imagine an acid which is normally liquid so concentrated that it's turned into a solid, so concentrated that you can't concentrate it anymore because there's just no more water in it. It's actually more sulfuric acid than there's water. And as a sort of a window into my mind, when you look at the molecule, the molecule looks like a weird two ducks stuck together on their tail, and they look just like two ducks. You can't imagine it more. It's sort of one of these things where people have pointed out to me that a duck's bill looks like a dog's face. If you actually look at the duck's bill really carefully, this person said, "Look, that looks like a dog's face," and it's, yes, it does. Well, you have to get into it, and so this is a bit of a window into the way that I think and visualize things, and I'm sure you can visualize it as well. It's an interesting aspect to it, and I might have a discussion a bit further on about learning a knowledge and how you, if you can find different routes to store the knowledge, it's easier to get. This is Peter Hill Explains, where we enter into a conversation about things scientific. I have a go at explaining things. You have a go at perhaps listening to it if you can be bothered. And the end result is that bit by bit I build up skills in explaining. I'm just building up the neurological momentum. Just opening up the pathways together, sort of releasing some memories which are there, and refining some others, researching some others, just trying to get myself back on track, because it's going to be a tough world when I get back into the classroom, because I'm sort of held up to a really high standard, high scrutiny. Anything I say is, because I'm a scientist, anything I say is really looked at. I'm not part of the teacher culture. I'm from a different, which I'd like to prefer to think of it more highly, not ethical, not that they're the people teachers aren't ethical, but it's ethical in a much more open, clinical way. Well, it is clinical. Yeah, the scientific culture is a clinical culture. But let's get back into it. What I like to do is say, look, sulfuric acid is an acid that I fear. In fact, I fear a lot of acids. I fear perhaps more caustic soda, because if you get any caustic soda, which is opposite, into your eye, that's the end of your eye. It's a really dangerous thing. Acid, you've got a little bit of time, but again, it's a dangerous thing, and there's lots of bad things can happen to you with acid. And I've had a few experiences with acid, some directly, some indirectly, involving accidents. Not that I've been behind the accident, I've sort of come in and fixed up an accident. So the first accident, and this is just to bring sulfuric acid into focus, happened to a friend of mine, a German friend who was in South Africa, and she's been driven home from a party, and the car crashed, and the complete engine exploded, and all that type of stuff. She was taken from the crash, and then after they were treating her for her broken, shattered leg. It was one of these 80s cars, then they noted that she was getting burns on her face, and they discovered that the battery had shattered, the lead acid battery had shattered, and had sprayed acid around the place. And of course, nowadays they take more and more care to make batteries which can't shatter, and place them explosions that they can't sort of replace when you have a car accident. It doesn't happen, but indeed that did happen, and so they treated it up. And all tribute to this South African medical system. You can see no trace. You could see early on a trace, but afterwards you can't see a trace of it. Another thing happened is a friend of mine was speaking to her. This is many years later, and her husband was a window cleaner, and he died. And this is a little bit unusual, because Window cleaners on buildings, there's a whole safety standard. You have to triple lock ropes and things. How could there be such an accident? And what had happened is that he had his ropes in the back of his ute, and a battery had leaked, and the acid had got into the ropes and weakened them. So that's an example. Look, there's sort of many accidents, but perhaps the biggest accident was at a school. This lab assistant was moving a large, we call it a keg, but it's there's a different word for 4 litres of high concentrated sulfuric acid across a courtyard, and she had to step over these. There's a whole series of things, but she dropped the acid and fell into the acid. And I heard this instantly. Went outside and got a hose and hosed her down and got the clothes off her, the actual acid stained clothes. And the people around hadn't been trained. I'm a superhero, but I have been trained for scenario after scenario in army. You're there and you're suddenly told this has happened. Oh, so and so's hurt this way. You have to sort of accommodate it, sort of keep people on task and accommodate for things like that. And so this was, I think, I got the mobile phone called emergency, then called the fire brigade to come in and clean up the acid spill. And so the sort of next thing that happened is pretty amazing, because the radio was being monitored by the news. The news picked it up and phoned up the principal and said, "The principal, can we have a report on her?" And so before the ambulance arrived, the news had informed the principal, who was sort of in another building, that came across. And I stayed with the woman just diluting the acid. And even though we'd washed out the acid with a heavy hose, they took her into hospital and showered her for a long time just to get the acid off. So sulfuric acid is something I'm dreadfully scared of, and I had to use high strength sulfuric acid to remove optical fibers cleanly from. If you have to process an optical fiber, you can't. Oh, basically, this is the most incredible thing. If you're making an optical fiber and you so much touch it with a finger or a piece of dust or just brush it, it will lose its strength. So there's no way that you can mechanically clean if you want to make an optical fiber product. I'll get into that as well. So I hope these are some stories with sulfuric acid. So sulfuric acid is a fantastic dehydrating agent. So you can look at that as an acid, but it's a fantastic thing to dry things up. As salt dries things up, sulfuric acid definitely dries things up. The more water you add to it, the more it gets diluted. So it likes to dilute itself and go. So the major thing, it's not necessarily an acid burn that first gets you. It's the way which it sucks up the water. And to make stronger and stronger sulfuric acid, you just have to remove more and more water. And if you remove more and more water, you'll eventually get to this other form of acid called oleic. Is the sort of old name? It's called disulfuric acid, or anhydrous sulfuric acid. So sulfuric acid has the formula H2SO4. So 2 hydrogens, sulfur, and 4 oxygens. And that's sulfuric acid, and that's in water. Let's talk about those atoms first before we go through it. Hydrogen is the first in the periodic table. Sulfur is directly beneath nitrogen. So it goes boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, neon. Directly above it goes aluminium, silicon, sulfur, phosphorus, chlorine, argon. So, come no surprise, everyone knows that silicon is beneath carbon. Beneath carbon. But the thing which is beneath silicon, beneath nitrogen is sulfur, and the thing which is beneath oxygen is phosphorus. Beneath fluorine is chlorine. Interesting to know all these different things. And sulfur's very important in nature. The disulfide bond is everywhere. It's two sulfurs like to stick next to each other. It's sort of like nitrogen, which is in everything organic has got heaps of nitrogen in it, every nitrogen protein. Sulfur's got sort of nitrogen with a bit of attitude. And so we have to make it the disulfide thing. So you have to get two two sulfuric acids molecules together and extract a water from it. So you can actually get sulfuric acid so diluted, remove all the water, and then even remove the water from two sulfuric acids. So in two sulfuric acids, there's water in it. So let's get a mind around it. Now, this is one of the things that polyatomic anions, which is SO4 minus, you can do it with a Lewis dot structure. This is classic school Lewis dot structure. But you have to add in more and more fixes to make it work. And it's almost, look, I think it's almost unteachable and unlearnable, but I might be wrong on that. And a case in point, I before I blew my mouth off and said, look, the school technology of Lewis dot diagrams doesn't work, I went on the internet, and I'll put this up on the podcast, and took a screenshot of a YouTube, this is YouTube, which did the Lewis dot diagram, and they snaked their way around it. They said, well, look at the total number of electrons here, I can draw a Lewis dot diagram, except, you know, when you looked at it, you said, oh, so there's four possible bonds that you can... The Lewis dot diagrams are just mathematically in your face. They can't do things. So the four bonds, but in sulfur dioxide, sulfuric acid, you have sulfur with oxygen, two oxygens which are double bonded, and oxygen with a single bond, and a spare electron going out to form the acid, the OH. So you have sulfur, two oxygens which are double bonded, and two oxygens which have an oxygen and a hydrogen with it. Now, this is the interesting thing that we tell people, look, if it's got an OH, it's a base. Well, it's an OH and a metal, which is a base. But sulfuric acid's got an OH, but it's an acid, because the OH doesn't break off, the H breaks off. Now, the point I want to make is that they sort of hand wave, and this is what, this upsets me a bit in any teaching, even YouTube. I don't want to attack this particular YouTube, but the teacher feels that you've got to achieve something by making the system work, and then when students ask questions, hang on, I can't understand it. They just say, oh, well, with time, practice, or eventually at university. But what he said, look, there's 32 electrons, let's put 32 points around it, and he produced something which wasn't, it looked nice, but it didn't reflect what an actual bonds. So then he moved some electrons from the outside to the inside and packed the inner shell of sulfur with four electrons for one double bond, four electrons for another double bond, two electrons for a single bond, and two electrons for a single bond. This is the way that you go. So if you do 4 plus 4 plus 2 plus 2, he had a total of 12 electrons in the inner shell. And it just sort of, in terms of how you teach the Lewis dot diagrams, it's a very limited tool. And unfortunately, my friends, you're going to have to do quantum mechanics as far as I... Well, the fact is that because of, I had the Gaussian calculations and it's sort of like no fuss, no bother. In quantum mechanics, you scratch your head and you say, well, I could get it to work. So, look, I may be wrong. There may be a way of doing a Lewis dot diagram, the school bonding diagram, but really you have to say SO4 or sulfuric acid is too hard to do an example of it. It's best to stick with magnesium oxide or oxygen or ammonia or something simple like that. But there seems to be no arbitrary barrier to tell you which ones you should or shouldn't do. There's some atoms which work with the Lewis dot diagram with the 8 in the central shell, others they don't. And the problem is that students go out and practicing, that's all, let's practice on sulfuric acid. They can't do it, lose confidence, and then ask you, and various, well, I don't know, teachers who would say, look, you can't do it. But we're coming up now to get you back to this ultra, it's called OLIC. I know about it because they have to do it when they're really serious making TNT. They have to get this really super, the top shelf sulfuric acid to nitrate the next dinitrotoluene. They've got to put it in the next stuff. And what it is, how it's nitrates, is that the sulfuric acid is so hungry for water, this water, it will take a OH from the nitric acid, like it's an acid, but it's such a strong acid it treats it like rubbish. It treats nitric acid, which is pretty fearful stuff. I'm fearful of that. It's because nitric acid really just moves. It's really, I don't like it. It's sulfuric acid. It's got is viscous. Nitric acid, well, the nitric acid that I've involved has always been very slippery stuff. But it wants the water so strongly that it actually rips an OH from the HNO3, and rips it from there, and rips the hydrogen from the phenyl, or the dinitrotoluene, to make trinitrotoluene. So you need this super acid. So that's how I came across it. And I'm interested in the anhydrated acid because, you know, ripping water from things is just pretty amazing stuff. So how, if you've got two H2SO4s, or writing it slightly a different way, S with two oxygen double bonds and two oxygen single bonded with a hydrogen on the outside, how do you do that? Well, the way that you do it is that you take a hydrogen off sulfuric acid, given that that's pretty easy, which leaves an O minus, and then you rip an O.